May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know about you, but I love baptisms. I love baptisms. They are such joyful events. We celebrate as a church family with the one who is baptized and with their family. It is truly a community event in which we remember God's grace. God's grace offered to each one of us. Today we celebrate the baptism of Shingalu Jesse Abduba, who's quietly sleeping there for now. But we also are invited to remember the meaning of our own baptism. Even if we can't remember our baptism, we celebrate what it means. And that's precisely what the baptismal service does. It helps us to reflect on the meaning of our baptism for our own lives, but also for the life of the church. Today we have a spectacular passage of scripture to help us think about how significant baptism was in the early church and how it is still important for us today. Our passage, as you heard, is found in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verses 9 to 15, which you have in your service leaflet. Before we have a look at this passage, here's a question for you. If someone offered to you to be included in the Bible, what would you say? Maybe a whole book would be written about you, your life, or maybe just a chapter, or some verses. What would your reaction be? I think it depends. Because if you know the Bible well, it is very transparent. It not only tells about the victories, but also of failures. Well, a certain woman called Lydia gets all of two verses. Two verses. And if you were Lydia, what would you like people to know about your life? Let's see what Luke, the evangelist, tells us about her. While it is true that only two verses are given specifically about Lydia, Luke, as a great storyteller, prepares us to appreciate how significant Lydia's role was in the early church. This episode that we heard took place around 50 AD. It's only 20 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. But first we heard that Paul has received a vision during the night in which a man appears and pleads Paul to cross the sea from Asia Minor to the region of Macedonia. You can imagine how big a step this was for Paul and his team, missionary team. Interestingly, the identity of the man in the vision is never revealed. And it's probably not important. What is important is that God wants Paul and his missionary team to continue preaching the gospel in Macedonia, which is a very big region, and it still is. But then the focus sharpens from the sea journey to Neapolis, and then finally to Philippi, which was a leading city and a Roman colony. This is really an important point. Once again, Paul's missionary journeys take him to strategic places where he meets key people. Indeed, Philippi is an important political and commercial crossroad. But Luke doesn't dwell on this as if it were a geography lesson. What he is interested in is some crucial events that took place in Philippi during Paul's short stay there. And one of these events was this divine encounter that God orchestrated between Lydia and Paul and his team. Paul's custom as a missionary was first to make contact with the Jewish community so that he could proclaim the good news of the Messiah Jesus to them first, and then take the message to the non-Jews, the Gentiles. It's almost always in that order in the Acts of the Apostles. Verse 13 says that Paul and his team went to look for a place to worship near the river. But curiously, Luke mentions nothing about Paul meeting the important synagogue leaders, who were always men. Rather, we hear that there was a place of prayer, and that Paul spoke to a group of women. Luke is rather vague about whether this place of prayer was another way of saying a Jewish synagogue. There is some debate about this, and I'm not going to go into it. But Paul's night vision had shown him a man. But like Luke writes that Paul met a group of women. And this is where Lydia enters the scene. The important thing is not whether it was a man or a woman, but that the gospel had reached Macedonia. And this seems to have begun with a Gentile woman. Again, we see that God's logic is not always what we would expect, given the culture of the ancient world. But let's be clear, the story is not just about Lydia, but it's about an amazing God who orchestrates this divine encounter between Paul, his team, and Lydia, and all the people that she represents. But what is so special about Lydia? I think the key is the main phrase. She was listening. She was listening. She was not an important political or religious leader, but as we heard, she was a successful merchant of purple goods, especially purple dyed cloth, which was extremely expensive. Lydia was not from Jerusalem or any other prestigious Jewish city or community. She was from Thyatira, a region of Lydia, also her name, in Asia Minor. So she wasn't an important political leader, she wasn't Jewish, she wasn't from Jewish background. But Luke tells us that she was a worshiper of God. And what this means is that she must have had contact with the Jewish faith, Jewish community, and she decided to abandon her pagan religion and to worship the God of the Jewish people. Lydia was a pious woman, and she was ready to receive the gospel. The Lord opened her heart to listen to Paul's message, and she did an important thing to confirm her faith in Jesus the Messiah. She publicly received baptism in front of all. We can imagine Paul or Silas saying, "Lydia, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit," followed by songs of praise and praise and joy on the banks of the river. Lydia's faith was not something she kept to herself. She lived out her baptism. She wanted to be a blessing to others. And so not only was Lydia baptized, but her whole household was also baptized. Luke doesn't give us a list of names of those who were baptized in her household, but possibly it was her husband, her children, her relatives, and even servants. But we see the impact of her faith on others. She offers hospitality to Paul and his missionary team. She wants to be a blessing to them and support them in their ministry through her generosity. And we get a glimpse of her humble character when she says to Paul, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." She must have insisted, because the text says that she prevailed. Paul and his friends accept her kindness, her generosity. Now, Luke tells us in the next passage that Paul and Silas encountered fierce opposition to their ministry. They were unlawfully imprisoned. When they were released and decided to leave Philippi, Paul and Silas went back to see Lydia and her family. And the text says, later on in the chapter, that Paul encouraged the brothers there. That's an important detail because it helps us to understand that a Christian group was established in Philippi, in her home. As in many other places in the early church, they met
as a house church. It wasn't a specific church building in those times. Lydia offered her home for the church to grow. And this growth of the church in Philippi is confirmed by Paul's letter to who? To whom? The Philippians. It was a developed congregation who were known to be very supportive of Paul through their financial gifts. What can we learn from the story of Lydia and her baptism? Stories from the past in all kinds of languages and writings, many of whom we know, they tell of great and small people. But you know what? Only time will tell who is really great and who is really small from God's perspective. It changes everything. Who is really great? Who is really small? Are we not already surrounded by different kinds of heroes and heroines whose lives, like Lydia's life, deserve to be told to future generations? I think so. Over the years, during our missionary service, Lillian and I have seen the importance of women. Women praying together in Niger, Italy, and Switzerland. They have prayed, and they continue to pray for their families, churches, and friends, for their nations, their communities. They also serve in so many ways, both in leadership and in supporting ministries. And their churches have grown. I am reminded today not to underestimate what God can do through people, men and women and children. We pray that God will use Jesse powerfully in his own unique way to be a blessing to his family, his friends, and many others. As the saying goes, great oaks from little acorns grow. That's because God can do it. So take time today to reflect on your baptism. Whether you were baptized as a child or as an adult, your baptism counts because it is a testimony of God's grace. In different parts of the New Testament, we read that baptism signifies that we were buried with Christ in his death and raised with him in his resurrection. So we too might walk in newness of life. This is what our great God can do. He gives the offer to each one of us. So let us be inspired by Lydia's life. Thanks to her faithfulness, the church in Philippi was founded and it grew. And I dare to say that the same can be said of many individuals, men, women, and children, in the history of St. Ursula's Church, Bern, right here.